Hey, the tour doesn't stop. It's game day, baby. The United States faces Bosnia and Herzegovina in Santa Clara for a ticket to a round of 16. And we are in town. We are in San Francisco soaking up all the U.S. Men's National Team fanfare and those three Bosnians that are out here.
Let's go. Okay. I love it. You said Santa Clara as if we're in Mexico.
Bro,
okay,
this used to be Spanish territory.
Okay. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. Yeah, we are in San Francisco.
No. We're in San Francisco.
San Francisco de Macorís. Okay.
Okay, wow.
Welcome to the Cooligans Daily Live. Yeah, we are a boots on the ground, we're already seeing people in U.S. MNT shirts. I'm wearing mine.
Yeah,
getting...
I was wearing my jacket last night. People were stopping me at dinner.
They said, hey, did you see my wallet down there?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, excuse me, sir, that's our food. And I was like, look at my jacket. Isn't it mesmerizing?
No, so
move your hand from the dip.
We're going to be previewing the U.S. MNT. We're going to be talking about some of the games from last night, and we're going to look ahead at some of the games that are coming
up. We may or may not be reacting to goals happening in the England-Congo.
that game is happening live.
That's right. Christian's pulling for the Dominican Republic of Congo. That's what the DR stands for now. Yeah.
As always, welcome to the Cooligans Daily Live. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Look, we could talk about a lot of this stuff alone, but why would we do that? Mm-hmm. We can pull in one of the experts. One of the luxurious experts that we have here at Yahoo Sports.
What a legend of the game.
Bro, I've been following this guy on Twitter for so long. Oh, my God. I can't believe we actually finally get to talk to him. The one, the only Yahoo Sports soccer commentator, Stephen Goff, everybody.
Stephen
Goff, right? We're doing everything in Spanish.
Exactly. Esteban, okay, sorry. Right. Esteban.
Esteban. Esteban Goff.
Stephen, so you've been following the U.S. Men's National Team throughout this World Cup. I mean, we were talking before we got on air. We were just kind of like gauging our anxiety and nervousness. I think after watching what Mexico did to Ecuador, I want the same vibes, right?
Yeah, we better represent.
Right. But so what, how are you feeling so far with how they're, you're watching them in training, and what are the sort of, what's the temperature right now for the U.S. men's national team?
Yeah, I mean, the vibes are great. You know, this team is confident. They feel like they can get back to where they were in those first two matches, particularly the first one against Paraguay. You know, the Turkey one was obviously a throwaway game because it didn't have any consequence. But yeah, man, I mean, they're at home. They're going to have the crowd. They're heavily favored. I should say favored. I shouldn't say heavily favored. But you know what? It's there's no room for error here. It's knockout stages and you're playing a difficult team. So, there is some reason for trepidation, but they're in good place. The starting lineup should be what it was in the opener, and away we go.
Yeah, I think we could talk a little bit about Bosnia, but I want to get a sense from you, someone who's been following this U.S. men's national team for a very long time. My thought process is that as far as, you know, when it comes to international tournaments, you want to grow in levels. You want to get to the A tier, the B tier, the C tier. I'm not exactly sure where you think the U.S. was, but my thought process is we've ushered ourselves into a new tier. Maybe not the A, but we've gotten to a new level. Part of that is also the confidence with which the players play and the link up. It's not just athleticism anymore. Now it's the football or the soccer IQ with which we play. Have you seen that in training? Do you think that Mauricio Pochettino has done a job well done so far?
Absolutely. In terms of training, you know, we get to see 15 or 20 minutes of it and then we're kicked out. So it's hard to judge them on off days. But certainly this team has bought in to his ideas, his ideals, his culture. They like each other. They play well together. And they've been very effective. You know, you don't really remember U.S. teams over the years being so dangerous on the attack, so cohesive in the attack. And I think that's what's been most impressive. They won their first two games. They should have won their first two games, but it's the way they won those first two games, which has really opened some eyes around the world. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of credit goes to Pochettino, but also, you know, this is a team that half the roster now has World Cup experience from 4 years ago. These are guys who are now playing at big clubs and big leagues overseas. So a lot of credit goes to them as well in their maturation process.
Yeah, I mean, I think Germany saying like, wait, I didn't think this was the Paraguay that was going to show up here. Yeah. You know, this was a very different team. When you think about this game against Bosnia-Herzegovina, what are the keys to this U.S. men's national team to get a victory here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, the lineup, as we've said, is going to be the strongest team, unless there's some mystery injury out there. We're going to see a team that was hitting on all cylinders in that first game. And if they can get back into that rhythm, I think they'll be all right. Now, certainly Bosnia presents difficulties. It's a defense first team. We are expecting kind of a low block, really try to frustrate the U.S. Don't let them get into that flow. So, you know, there are going to be challenges to break that team down. You know, the U.S. has scored early in all three matches of the group stage. And if they're able to do that, again, it could very well unlock Bosnia for the rest of the match. Not going to be easy, difficult in many ways, and, you know, a fresh challenge ahead for Pochettino and this U.S. team.
Well, I guess that brings us to the question is, how do you see this playing out? Do you have any idea of the predictions for this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, the U.S., I think the U.S. has more talent. They're playing at home. Bosnia knows they're going to have to endure that pressure and counterattack. You know, set pieces have provided them with some goals, many goals, several goals in this tournament. So I think, you know, U.S. has to be very careful on those set pieces. You know, but again, you know, if the U.S. gets into that rhythm, I think it's going to be difficult for Bosnia to hold them off for an entire match. But look, you know, it's a knockout match. And if Bosnia gets to the second half and it's level and this game gets ugly and, you know, they drag this into extra time, you know, it's a toss up. And we see this so often in major tournaments.
Please don't make this a 1-0.
Yeah.
You know, 85th goal.
Also, you know, I'm just hoping the like bulletin board material that local news reporters are giving Bosnia. Right.
Someone show these people where Bosnia is on a map, please.
Can we just sort that out? Oh my God,
like, Congo has just scored on England.
Scored
by the
on
way,
against England. Wow. Okay. Wow. That's well, all right. We'll react. We'll figure that out later.
I'm now really worried after Paraguay and Congo. Yeah.
This is the World Cup. This is why we love it.
If this was an M. Night Shyamalan movie, we'd be like, wait a minute, is a twist coming?
Incredible. Okay. I want to talk about Norway last night. They get their first ever knockout win against Ivory Coast, a late winner from Erling Haaland. But your sort of takeaway from this Norwegian team, Alexis has them kind of, did you say dark horse? Yeah, kind
they
of
are my dark horse, but like in the sense of like Morocco in the last tournament.
Yeah.
I could see them get to a quarterfinal or a semi easily. And, you know, I think a lot of people were, for good reason, second guessing them because of their defense, but they've been holding up pretty well because of their offense.
Yeah. Well, how far do you think Norway and Erling Haaland can get in this tournament?
Yeah. I mean, I think coming into this tournament, there were a couple teams you looked at kind of on that second tier, but ready for, you know, going a little bit further. You know, there were teams like Japan, certainly Norway. In large part because of Haaland's presence. And now here they are winning this game. It's a game they should have won, and they did. And now they got Brazil. So, you know, I think Brazil has some vulnerabilities, and this is an opportunity for Norway to take advantage of them. So I really like this Norway team. We love the fans, of course, with the rowing. Yeah. And I just love that Haaland has really embraced the almost the Americanization of the tournament. You know, he's out there, you know, he's doing things. He's funny. He's a character. I think he has a great marketing career after this World Cup in this country. So a very likable team and a fascinating matchup in the next stage.
Yeah. My wife is like, I love this guy. Who is this guy? And I'm like, we're supposed to hate him. We're Arsenal fans, but he is so endearing. Do you think they pull off the upset against Brazil? I'm thinking Carlo Ancelotti showed me that he's not just a vibes guy. The adjustments he made to not go central against Japan really impressed me. And of course, bringing Enrique in was huge. Do you think this is maybe just a step too big for Carlo Ancelotti with the attack coming at them?
Yeah, no, this is a fascinating one. I mean, it's hard to not see Brazil win around a 16 game. But, you know, this is I don't think this is a great Brazil team by any means. And Norway's hungry, they're fresh, and they have an incredible weapon up front and a lot of providers as well. So, yeah, I would not be shocked if Norway wins this match. I think, you know, your heart maybe goes with Norway a little bit. Your head is thinking, you know, Brazil finds a way just as they found a way the other day. So, yeah, no, I think this is going to be a fun match. And, you know, maybe we do see Norway pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, the Brazil game, we were hosting a watch party for it. And clearly, like, you know, all the Brazilians in the crowd were very nervous in that first half because I couldn't understand Brazil's choice to they wanted to play the game on the ground in the first half. And then the second half, they were like, hey, you know what? Our guys are taller than their guys. Let's just do that. Yeah. But they cannot do that against Japan. I mean, they can't do that against Norway. Their guys are much taller than the Brazilian guys.
Couple Vikings out there. What are you looking forward to most? We'll leave you on this question. Yeah, please. I want no smoke with Vikings. I know you got to go, but what are you looking forward to most? Is there like a key for you for the U.S. men's national team in this game today?
I think long as they're not overwhelmed by the moment, which I don't think they will be because they've been in this situation before, that they'll be fine. Certainly the way the game plays out is going to, present challenges. But, I think if they're looking good in the early moments and they're putting on pressure, I think a breakthrough will come. But hey, man, it's knockouts and it's a whole different animal than the group stages.
We just saw.
We're all saying the same thing and then hedging our bets. Because anything can happen.
We're watching Democratic Republic of Congo just with a 1-0 lead against England, which, literally nobody expected. I know we just saw a picture of Infantino. Infantino desperately wants Mexico, England.
He's like, can we get LeBron to join the U.S. men's national team?
Whatever it takes. Stephen Goff, an absolute honor. Like we said at the top, we've been following you for, over a decade. You've been doing incredible work in American soccer. So thank you so much. It's been an honor to have you on our show.
Please come back.
Yeah, please come back. Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, yeah. Pleasure all mine,
Stephen
guys.
Goff. Cheers, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Stephen. All right, guys. Good luck. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Cheers. Cheers. All right. Just a couple quick things before we go to a break. But France, we have to just real quick. France absolutely dominates Sweden. What did I say?
Yeah.
What did I say?
I mean, let's be honest. That's not the hottest of hot takes.
But you did the kind of what we're all doing. We're like, anything can happen. It's the World Cup. Sweden.
Anything can happen. Can I tell you something? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. What you said was going to happen. But here's the thing. I don't know if you saw this. Adam Cleary, who, good friend, but he does incredible work breaking down tactics. He showed the running stats, of distances covered, and France was nowhere near the top. They've been slow walking this whole thing. They haven't even gotten out of first gear yet, and they look incredible. They're scoring essentially 3 goals a game. They are so formidable. If you picked Spain, if you picked anybody else, you should be nervous. I hope you didn't put money on it because France looks like they're going to gallantly walk through this whole thing.
Yeah.
What they did to Sweden was impressive. Look, Sweden wasn't necessarily the most, the biggest force they were going to face. But man, they made them look pedestrian.
Well, I mean, the first half, I thought Sweden held their own for as long as they could.
Yeah.
But Isak
had one or two chances where, that could have changed the
Isak
game.
Isak does not look, since his, not even.
He's looking better than he did at the end of the Liverpool season, but he's still not at the level where he was at Newcastle.
He's not the same.
He is not.
I don't know if it's, he had an injury going into preseason and then obviously he got hurt. Mm-hmm. His ankle was broken during a tackle. But he looks sluggish. He looks just like not the same. I it's hard to explain. But I thought Sweden looked okay for the first, 30 minutes. But I you really have to think about the ease, like you said, like they're sort of gallantly walking through this World Cup, but the ease that Mbappe is creating his opportunities.
That four games, six goals.
Olise, Michael Olise, for me, best player at this World Cup by far.
Can I tell you what Michael Olise is to me for 90 minutes? Have you ever gone to a big store when you were a kid with your mom? Or maybe Mateo does this. Yeah. You get a little bit further away from your parents, and then you're constantly looking, and they're like, oh, I see them.
Right.
No one else appears. You go right for it. He's been doing that to Mbappe for 90 minutes. No one else is there. He sees one person. It's the slow motion running towards your loved one who just came back from war in a movie.
Olise
Mbappe.
Has not scored a goal. He almost had that overhead kick.
No.
That would have been
incredible. That would have been the goal of the tournament.
Hit the post.
Can I tell you something? Didier Deschamps moved Dembele away from the center position. He won the Ballon d'Or in that spot. And he said, hey, my guy, go take a spot in the midfield.
Yeah.
It is absolutely incredible. The guy deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to do. This France team looks insane. Now, how do they handle adversity? And will they find any? I don't know. But as of right now, they are like chilling, bro. I'm surprised they don't have cigarettes out there, bro.
Yeah. Super, really impressive. And then Mexico against Ecuador. What a game. I mean,
Mexico. Wow.
This is definitely doing something for, I think, just Mexico as a country, as a fan base. I mean, I don't think people kind of expected this level of performance at the World Cup.
And also the support has been incredible. We talked about how the Mexican fans have traditionally and can turn on their team pretty quickly. You know, and that has not played out at all.
What I love is that people are going back to our Chicharito interview and commenting, this historic Mexico team is playing.
Yeah.
Like, they're cooking them.
But you know what's funny? Like, they're cooking Chicharito, and then they're cheering for him in the background. When he's on TV. What a confusing fan base.
No, Chicharito even had a video. He was celebrating the win. I mean, this is a quinto partido, yes, but it is not the...
Not the quinto
Because it was
partido.
The round of 32. There was an extra round. But still...
This is round of 16.
Round of 32 against a CONMEBOL team, against an Ecuador team that did very well in qualifying.
Yes, but no.
It's a clean sheet.
Ghosts of that live within the three are still there. It's this round of 16 that they will be facing moving
up.
Impressive. We're seeing here very impressive win against Ecuador, who I was also impressed just held so much possession. I was expecting Ecuador to bank down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But like we said, Ecuador's got to figure this out. You can't have a 38, and I hope you're not listening, Portugal. You can't have a 38, 39-year-old striker. You got to go out and find someone who could score. Same ill that Italy has is the same ill that Portugal has if they're not going to start Gonzalo Ramos. Ecuador has it because there's just no backup for Ener Valencia. That said, Ecuador, I think, played incredibly, but unfortunately get bumped out by Mexico that is playing outside of their skin right now. And I think we should talk about how far can they get, because we're right now watching England versus Congo. There's a chance that England have to go to the Azteca if they win this game, but it's looking like Congo might win this. This could be a dream scenario for Mexico, huge. Who could play with both of these teams, by the way.
Right. This is when you see the performances from players like Quiñones, Jimenez.
Jimenez finally getting on the score sheet.
He scored in the first game.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
as we get closer to the knockout rounds.
In a knockout game.
This wasn't against South Africa.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Gilberto Mora. They
started him, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Which is what just the clearly the right decision. Just
and they would never start him. They wouldn't let a kid play back in the day. Now they're starting their young stars.
There's a real belief, and after the game when you're seeing the players, you know, celebrate with the fans. And again, you know, the last time we were at the Azteca, it was just constant, just negativity, criticism, fuera tata, fuera tata. They were just like frustrated where the national team was. And this really, really, I mean, it's not even just the wins. It's just it's the performances. They are not allowing goals.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting, they're scoring consistently. They're playing with just a real chemistry, and it's awesome to see.
Yeah, and they're not leaning on athleticism. I think the same thing I would have said about the U.S. They're not just leaning on their athleticism. They're playing a tactical game out there in a way that I've been really impressed with the job that Aguirre has done.
Yeah, I mean, look, if as far as the three host countries, mm-hmm. I mean, Mexico is just is taking the most advantage of being a host country. I mean, Canada, you know, not
their stadium is also in the sky.
performances are just not the what you know. I think what everybody would expect or would have hoped for, and same thing kind of with the U.S. Like, you know, giving up goals or whatever, but Mexico has been consistent. It's very much feeling like out of the three countries, like, please, let's not. We don't want to face Mexico.
And we put a lot of on Mexico because you played South Africa. Yeah, you impressed. The group stage to me didn't answer all the questions you might have had about Mexico. This game did. The game against Ecuador answered all your questions. Now, can they keep that going? And historically, this Quinto Partido, which is now the round of 16, is traditionally the round of 16 where they collapse, where they fall apart, or they're cheated, right? Know it up and out if you guys are watching. To me, this is the moment where I think they need to prove it. They need to prove it to the nation. They need to prove it to these fans that have been supporting them and leaving comments on the Chicharito interview. Then you need to prove it to everyone that this is who you are. And it comes with a victory in the round of 16, which is either going to be England or DR Congo.
Yeah. And we'll see. We got an upset on our hands. But we got
this could be a wild one.
We got more to go over. Right after this, we'll take a quick break. Oh, wait,
you know what? Hey, let's not take a break. Let's go look at the comments.
We're going to go to comments.
What are we talking about? What y'all saying?
Forget breaks. We got comments.
Ben Skolnick. Okay. Thank you. That's my morning year. Are y'all glazing Stephen Goff in the comments, bro?
ECC. Let's go. That's easy. Imaginémonos cosas chingonas.
Chingonas, bro.
Yeah, let's go. A great performance from Mexico.
The Cooligans at the same time as England versus DR Congo is the most ill-timed clash since Jordan Pickford took out Virgil van Dijk in the 2020 Merseyside Derby. Deep cut.
This guy knows ball.
Look, we didn't plan to be on camera while this game was happening, but hopefully you can watch along with us. A little second screening.
Right. Also, we're in San Francisco, so on our calendar it says 9 a.m. That's noon.
Yeah. Yeah, what you talking about, bro?
I don't know what's going on.
Yo, why is it happening early? That's the real question. I'm home, hungover at work. I need an IV. What was you doing yesterday?
Celebrating.
You Mexicano, bro?
Celebrating a little too hard. Let's go. I love just hang the IV at your cubicle. You know what I mean?
Bro, France playing checkers and everyone else trying to play chess and bodying teams. That is facts, bro.
Yeah.
They're playing Parcheesi, bro. They're not even trying.
No, dude. Clearly. The
hungry hippos
so far.
With those goals.
Alan, we're beating whoever is advancing from England or DR Congo. Okay,
damn. Okay, so Alan is Mexicano.
There's somebody. They're beefing in the chat, bro.
No. He's rooting them on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said, yo, we're beating whoever advances from England or DR Congo.
But tagged Alan.
Because they're both Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Right. Incapié was telling bro, yo, let us win. Sabrina Carpenter is trying to smash.
Apparently, Incapié is dating Sabrina Carpenter. Is that true? I heard it was a rumor.
This is what happened. You got to let your cheeks out during a game. See what it gets you?
Like, oh, I got to have some of that.
Damn. Look at this man all cheeked up, double cheeked up on a Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Hilarious. All right.
Sabrina Carpenter's a pull. I ain't going to lie. Good for you, Incapié.
All right.
See what happens, bro? Anne Hathaway, Sabrina Carpenter. Bro, this is what happens when you Arsenal, dog.
Okay. All right. You lose Champions League.
You get bodies, you get bro. Baddies, not bodies. What are we talking about here?
Both. Yeah, all right.
Well, also, we don't need Champions League.
We'll be right
this
back.
Year.
We're going to take a quick break.
We got
we'll
him
right
next
back
year.
After this.
Hey, welcome back to the Cooligans. Look, this has been a sea of upsets in this World Cup. It's been absolutely exhilarating. And why would we just talk to Christian and I amongst ourselves? Why don't we bring in a guy who's going to make us a lot of money, okay? And I don't give a fox what he says about it. Ben Fox, everybody!
Ben, how are you, brother? Okay.
Did we get that sponsor yet, guys? We're in like week three or four.
Not yet.
We're working on that.
Okay. I guess my first question is, we're watching England DR Congo. Should we be putting an in-game bet right now? The DR Congo is going to pull this out. They're up 1-0.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a situation, right? A perfect example of it kind of depends if you bet pre-match. If you really like DR Congo, you're obviously getting a much worse price. If you like England, like now's the time to buy, theoretically, because they're down 1-0. I think I saw their round at minus 400 to advance. Before the match, they were like minus 1200. So I got it on the other. Still won nothing. Like it's, you know, I think there's going to start to be more and more mounting pressure, right? A knockout match, the further you get, if this gets to halftime and it's 1-0, but if you believe in England, this is the time to kind of put, you know, put something on them. And likewise, DR Congo, you're not getting as good a price, but they couldn't have started any better. And so, yeah, it kind of just depends who you like. I can't say I've watched that much of the first 20 minutes. I was prepping hard for you guys, so I only saw, you know, sure, saw a little bit of the goal. But
I mean, we do put you under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I just for the next hydration break, Christian and I were going to put the house on it. Mateo's college fund.
Also, you know, if you believe in England, not even the English believe in England.
I was going to say, who are you? I know you ain't Irish.
Okay. So let's talk U.S. Bosnia as far as placing bets on this game. The over under total goals in that game. So given that Bosnia has three goals in three games so far. So 2.5 total goals. How do you feel about that over under?
Yeah, I like the over. I mean, I think, you know, hearing Steven talk a little bit as well, like it kind of is, again, I think we'll get a sense early on a bit how the match goes, right? And if the U.S. comes out, now, first of all, the U.S. is not used, right? We're not used to being favored in a knockout stage match, right? The U.S. is a pretty big favorite. Just to put it in, you know, context, the U.S. to advance against Bosnia is roughly the same as Spain to advance against Austria. So, like, those are roughly... just to move on to the next stage.
This is uncharted territory for America.
Therefore, we are as good as Spain. Thank you, Ben Fox. Damn. I appreciate
that's what I said. Yeah. Clip it, book it.
Word for word, bar for bar.
So look, this is an unfamiliar situation for the U.S., but in terms of just the total, the U.S. has a better offense during the group stage with the sixth most touches in opponent's penalty area. So we're there a lot. Bosnia does have a good defense. They did a good job in the group stage, not allowing a lot of goals. And obviously, they only had, I believe, five goals, three off of set pieces. So if you can kind of make sure you don't give up those set pieces, doesn't seem like they're as dangerous. As we've talked about, though, we don't completely trust the U.S. defense and that clean sheet either. And I think in the elimination game as well, there's just that kind of if it gets a little later and let's say it's 2-0 U.S., the other team's going to go for it, right? Because there's no, if you lose 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, it doesn't matter. You're out. It's not like there's any goal differential you're looking to protect, unlike the group stage where, hey, if you're down 2-0 and it's, you know, one of the games, you're like, okay, let's maybe pack it in. We want to make sure we don't lose 4-0, 5-0 or something. And now we have no chance to advance out of the group because of a bad goal differential. So I think it'll open up a little in the second half, especially as well. And that's why I think we get over. Hopefully with a U.S. win, 2-1, 3-1, 3-0, somewhere in there. But I do think this goes over 2.5 goals.
Yeah, what I love about this tournament this year is it seems like history hasn't played a major role. There's a lot of young upstarts like Norway that are, you know, doing great. And then there's some classic nations like Germany that haven't done really well. What do you think about the fact that historically the U.S. hasn't done well against European competition, certainly in the last two decades? Does that play a role in where you're thinking to put your money?
Not as much for me. I mean, we have a lot of like what we call trends, I guess, in betting. And the difficulty always with the trend is like how historically relevant is it, right? So, for example, you have a lot of trends. Let's say you don't want to bet, right? You're going to lose money betting against the New England Patriots. Well, yeah, if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are there, then you're definitely going to lose money betting against them. But they're not there anymore, right? So it matters kind of the context and how close it is, right? Is this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, et cetera? And as well, quality of competition, right? I'm not a geography major. I know you guys were talking about that reporter before, right? But I do believe that Spain and France are also in Europe. And so that's a very different competition, right, than some other European teams as well. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think that's more in the past. And as we've seen, there's a U.S. team favored in knockout stage match. They look very good in those first two games. The third one you can kind of throw out a little bit. Obviously, not really the A team that was playing. So I think the U.S. takes care of business. I think whatever ghosts were there from the past, hopefully stay in the past. And there's a new team that moves up, wins tonight, and moves on to the next round.
Okay, let's move on to Portugal, Croatia. Cristiano Ronaldo did get two goals against Uzbekistan, but he hasn't looked really that great outside of that match. But that Cristiano Ronaldo, do you think it's possible? There's any chance that Cristiano Ronaldo versus Uzbekistan could show up against Croatia?
Well, I was just yesterday at that France Sweden match, and that I think is probably what, you know, Ronaldo looked like 20 years ago as well with Kylian Mbappe. Yeah. I don't think that's coming back with Ronaldo, right? I think it'll be interesting in this game to see, right? I know there's been a lot of talk about Ronaldo and should he start and how long should he play, certainly for Portugal. I think it'll be interesting to see how much they feed him today or don't, right? I think certainly we saw in the group stage, I think they played right after that first day where Messi scored and Haaland scored two and Mbappe scored two. And like there was some pressure, I think, probably externally and internally, like, hey, Ronaldo, also one of the all-time greats, also a huge name, like we got to get him a goal. And I think probably some of those offensive plays and possession and passing for Portugal maybe weren't the optimal route. Maybe we're force feeding Ronaldo a little bit, right, to try and get him that goal. Well, there's the knockout stage. It does matter. Like, you need to get goals. You need to move on. So I don't think he's going to play as big a role. I don't like him to score in this game. And I think ultimately, like, if he's not a successful player, he's not helping them, we'll see if the coach, right, if the manager would sub him off earlier. But, like, ultimately, you got to get to the next round no matter what happens. And so if he's a weight for them, you got to move on and do whatever you can do. Because as we've seen, you know, it's a difficult matchup. And Croatia is always kind of is always there, right? They're a team that it's always kind of around. They know how to play. They know how to win in these tournaments. So I don't expect that much from Ronaldo today. Now he'll go off and score a hat trick. But no, I don't expect him to do too much today.
Okay. Same. In fact, speaking of most likely to score, I'm looking at a couple of players here that are plus 290, which is a nice bet. We got Ante Budimir, Petr Musa, or Bruno Fernandes. If you had to put money on one of them to score at plus 290, it's kind of nice. Who would you pick out of the three?
Yeah, I would go Bruno Fernandes. And again, right, this is plus 290, so it's a little bit of a dart throw. But I think he'll be featured a little more in that offense. He's taking maybe a couple more of the free kicks if Ronaldo isn't taking as many, more opportunities in the box. And again, if you think Portugal is going to win, potentially he has a better, you know, chance as one of those long shot scorers than someone on the other side. So that's where I would go. I think this is going to be a really good game. Can't wait to watch it. But I would look at Bruno Fernandes there if I'm taking a dart throw on someone to score in that match.
Okay. I mean, the comments under this episode are going to be, why does Ben Fox glaze Lionel Messi, hate Cristiano Ronaldo? Why? This is more the propaganda. Oh,
yeah. Also, I'll get in there and go, because he's a good guy.
Because he knows ball. Uh-huh. Let's go to Colombia, Ghana. As far as Colombia's attacking trio, Luis Suarez is at plus 160. John Cordova is at 165. And Luis Diaz at 170. I think Colombia, they've been kind of up and down when it comes to attacking. But, you know, I mean, at least on a subjective note, Luis Diaz feels like the better option here. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, I will defer to the experts because I think, to me, it's pretty much just a coin flip with those. This is one, like, I kind of would lean to the under in this game as well. So I might not necessarily be betting an individual goal score just because I think it is going to be that that kind of lower scoring game. I think Ghana in the group stage had the second lowest possession, third fewest expected goals. So not an offensive juggernaut either. And kind of playing that back line, you know, inviting pressure a bit and making sure kind of, hey, we're not going to give up any goals. We might not score that many either. So Colombia should be the more dangerous team. But I just think, to me, this seems like kind of a nil-nil, 1-0, are we going into PKs kind of type of game. Right. But ultimately, look, we didn't think that DR Congo necessarily was going to show up and have an early lead against England either. So certainly anything can happen. But yeah, of those three, I think Luis Diaz, I would probably go with. But this to me seems like a little bit more of a rock fight, unlike some of the other matches.
Yeah, this DR Congo game has proven to be a little bit of a stats buster. But let's talk a little bit about Spain-Austria. Marko Arnautović, one of my favorite type of players, who looks like he's not interested in the game and then all of a sudden scores a goal. In fact, he's got 46 goals and 97 starts. He's plus 375 to score against Spain. Mm. You talked about dart throws. This is covering your eyes with a napkin and throwing a dart. But might this be a smart pick?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's that description reminds me of Erling Haaland, right? Covering that, you know, Norway and Senegal and some other games. He just kind of is out there walking around. Then all of a sudden, boom, goal. Like, he, you know, doesn't have to do very much. One touch and he's in. For this, look, I don't know that I'm going out on a limb necessarily. I think Spain saw exactly what France did. And they have not played Spain the best, certainly, in the group stage and going forward. I think this is a get-right situation for them. And so I don't like anyone in Austria to score, let alone a dart throw. I think this is more where Spain kind of reestablishes as not the tournament favorite. I think it's pretty clear that that is France right now with how they've played and how they're looking. But I think Spain reminds us of, they have Lamine Yamal. They have some other players that are pretty good. And they move on to the knockout, the next stage in the knockout round.
Yeah, so, like it's interesting
because that's where I'd like to go with these.
Yeah, it's interesting because Spain have. I felt like they haven't like grown into this tournament yet. Lamine Yamal was injured coming into the tournament. They've been very cautious with him, and I think that's been a big reason why we haven't. I think Spain are no longer the favorites. So we got a comment here. So Luigi Tron said, "So what Ben is telling us." I should bet my house and kids on USA winning the World Cup.
And your kids. See, Ben people, said, and your kids.
See, Ben, people are reading
exactly
between the lines.
What I said. Yeah, I think you could do that, but then you might not have a house and you might not have a wife with the kids anymore at the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sure. Also, can we investigate the sports betting book that allows you to place your kids as collateral?
We got to look into that.
We got to investigate. Ben,
not only does he give betting advice, he gives relationship advice. Okay?
Hey, you missed your single
days?
Think about this. You either end up a single guy, which is pretty cool, crushing Doritos on your sports bike, or you end up rich with a family. Either way, it's a win-win.
Right. This is no L's here.
Yeah. Right? Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Last question real quick. For Spain, they haven't given up any goals in this tournament so far.
The only other team is Mexico, by the way.
So when you think about total goals in this game, what do you think? What do you feel good about?
Yeah, this is the same. I like the over. I believe 2.5, like it's been at most of the matches. I just think this is a 3-0, 3-1 Spain win. I don't want to say they necessarily cruise, but I just think it's hard to see them not playing as poorly as they played kind of in the group stage. And they got their scare, right? They kind of hopefully for their fans against Cape Verde. So they feel like, okay, we still got through the knockout round fairly easily. We have Lamine Yamal healthy, which was really the goal coming through the group stage. Now it's time to turn it on, and they kind of cruise. So I like the over 2.5 in that one.
Okay.
I know you got to run, but I just want to say, we talked a little bit about the woodwork being hit. I'm pretty sure the woodwork's been hit in every one of these games. So I think you're right in the fact that they just like, we're taking this out because too much money's being made.
That France bicycle kick yesterday. I mean, that was mad.
Right.
The post on that,
every
that
game,
insane.
Every match. Okay. That damn woodwork has been
the
hit.
The soccer gods, they took that away from us.
I would have been rich, dude.
Okay. All right, Ben Fox, Yahoo betting expert, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure you'll be back next week to talk about some more of these bets in during the World Cup. So thank you so much, Ben Fox. Cheers, brother.
You got it. Go U.S.
All right, let's go. All right, everybody. I think we're going to comments or we're going to break. I don't know. We shall see.
We probably should have been prepared for that.
Okay, we're going to a break. That's what I heard.
There
All
we
right,
go.
We'll be back in one sec. Cheers, everybody. Come right back.
Hey,
Hey. Right. Welcome back, everybody. I mean,
I just placed my kids on a bet. Didn't even know I had them. That's crazy.
England looking a bit shaky in this game. They Oh, do we got a penalty? Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, no, what's that time? Oh,
anything can happen here, folks.
This is incredible. We'll see if VAR looks at that. But man, the England DR Congo game is happening as we are live, and it's an incredible game.
Quick stat, by the way, England has only won once ever in a World Cup knockout round when going down first, when the other team takes the lead. That was the final in 1966 against West Germany.
Let's preview a couple matches. One of them happening later today, Belgium against Senegal. This is Belgium is looking. You know, it kind of does look like a dive. I don't know. Contact. I can see it. Belgium against Senegal. This is kind of what we were talking about before with Belgium. The expectations are that they probably should get through, but Senegal, I can very much see
giving them
too much trouble. This is feeling like a quote unquote upset. I don't know.
A little bit of a trap game here for Belgium, and I think. You know, the ills of Belgium, sort of the end of their golden era. We're looking at some of these names. Obviously, Jeremy Doku is incredible. De Ketelaere, you know, I'll lean on you whether you think he's a great player or not. But some of these other names, man, they're a little bit long in the tooth. You know what I mean? And I think this is it. I think this is where the journey ends for Belgium, because Senegal scores a lot. They also give up a lot of goals, but they score a lot. And I think it's going to be just a little bit too much for this team. They're going to need Courtois to really stand on his head.
Yeah, this is, obviously Senegal can score against, you know, they scored 5 against Iraq. But yeah, like you said, they do give up a lot of goals. And this does feel like a game where there could be a lot of goals in general.
Yeah.
Because both of these teams are not like necessarily defending super, super well. And Belgium just always finds a way to disappoint you. That's really the main concern.
If anything, that's like, it's going to make me feel comfortable to know that that's still the truth, you know?
But Belgium, they won the Group G with 5 points. They drew 2 of the 3 group stage games. They are seeking their 7th round of 16 appearance. And
the winner of this match plays the winner of U.S. Bosnia and Herzegovina. So
maybe, does the U.S. want revenge against Belgium? They did beat Senegal in the friendly leading up to the World Cup. So I think either opponent is like, I'm not necessarily
scared. It's not a gimme. Yeah, it's not a gimme either. But
yeah.
We're looking at Senegal starting 11. I mean, you know, Illiman Ndiaye, one of your favorite players.
Ndiaye has not been playing, I haven't gotten an update as to why he's not been playing. He's not injured.
Ndiaye is not injured, dude.
Yeah, but he's not. We're not hearing why he's being left off the team sheet. It kind of makes no sense. We're seeing the expected 11 here. It'd be nice if he did play, but I don't know exactly what's going on. I haven't heard about any injury. I haven't heard about any issues with the coach. So if anybody does know, please give us an update. Because
Illiman Ndiaye, if you're watching.
Yeah, that's my Everton homie, bro. Yeah. What are we doing? Friend of the show. He was on the podcast last year, dog. Kind of crazy. Anyway.
You want to talk a little bit about Spain-Austria?
Yeah, Spain against Austria is
it's going to be tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. So we were talking with Ben Fox a bit. I can't see Austria. What was the game? The game against Algeria, right? That was the game. That was the game that went 3-3. The insane game. This is just, I'm like, I don't know what Austria is going to show up. That's kind of like the main concern. But against Spain, I also can't see them unlocking much. Oh my God, England still cannot score.
There is plexiglass in front of the DR Congo goal. Here's what I'll say about Austria. I'm very high on Austria every international tournament. Since they've brought in Ralf Rangnick, I like the way they play. I like the fact that they remind me a lot of Japan in the sense where they play as a unit and all 11 play together. We're looking at them now. Limer, Schlager, Sabitzer, Arnautovic. You've heard of some of these names, right? Can they put it all together? I think Alaba in the back line. I think so, just not against Spain. I think Spain is a level above. So, yeah. Look, I expect Austria is going to put a lot of respect on their name in this game. I don't think it's going to be a 3-0. I think it could very easily be a 3-1 or a 3-2, possibly even a 4-2 for Spain. But I think at the end of the day, Spain is just a little bit too strong, a little bit too quick, a little bit too techy for them. And I think they're going to, you know, run around them a lot more than I think any other team has. To need a 96-minute winner against an Algeria, no disrespect to Algeria, doesn't leave me with a lot of confidence that you'll be able to handle Spain.
It was an equalizer.
Good point. Yeah.
Look, they scored 6 goals, but they've also conceded 6. And that, you know, that's the... You can clearly see their weaknesses. So, yeah, you got to obviously favor Spain here. Even though I don't, like you said, I don't think it's going to be a thrashing. Spain have not, like, really looked that impressive, even in the games that they've won. So, right.
And if the opposite happens, that means Ben was right. And they've sort of put it all together for this match.
Exactly. And then Portugal, Croatia, you know, we posted a clip about Ronaldo in the last game and his performance against Colombia.
I'm sure the comments were very level-headed.
And everybody thinks that there's some, like, weird agenda, or either they think it's an agenda or they think it's actually the midfielder's fault for not giving the proper service to Cristiano Ronaldo.
This is ridiculous. Look at this midfield, y'all. You got João Felix, say what you want. Bruno Fernandes, he knows how to pass to him.
Yeah.
You got Neto, you got João Neves, you got Vitinha. This is a legendary generational midfield. The weak point is the 40-year-old who runs in play in the way of other people's shots and doesn't run on other times.
I think
this is ridiculous.
It's you know, we're getting a lot of comments like, are you guys even watching the game? And it's like, when you look at the data, you look at the stats, how many touches of the ball does Cristiano Ronaldo even get? How many passes does he complete? I saw a thing. He completed less passes than the goalkeeper for Colombia.
Hilarious.
Which is, that's crazy. Like, and it's, maybe it is the midfielders. Maybe it is. Let's say
No, I'm going to say this. Comments, you're right. It is the midfielders because they're unfortunately forcing passes to Cristiano Ronaldo versus making the correct pass. Because you know why? They don't want to deal with his ego and his attitude after the game.
I was saying the thing I think is, you know, I said this in the last show, the Portugal Colombia. I said I don't think his teammates trust him with the ball. And maybe that is the reason that they're not really passing to him.
Maybe it's also that Thierry Henry is right, and he's not a 9, and he's not making the movements a 9 should. So when you have incredible talents like Vitinha or Neto running into a certain spot and looking up to where the striker's supposed to be, they don't see one there.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. And maybe it's not that they're not getting good service. It's that the guy's not in the right spot. It's a game of teammates. It's not a game of individuals.
It's so odd to me that everybody's like, no, it's the other 10 players' fault. It's not his fault.
When Messi won the World Cup last time, what did all the Ronaldo fans say? Oh, they had to do it, so they had to cheat so that he could win. They gave it. It was rigged. You guys don't make any excuse for this freaking guy. And by the way, he doesn't know who you are, and he doesn't care. All right? He's not going to let you drive his Porsche.
It's so strange. Yeah.
The Ronaldo glazing is insane.
I mean, he's clearly like the weak link on the team, and I can't understand how everybody, not even everybody, but I can't understand
most.
How a good amount of people are like, no, it's the midfielders' fault for not getting him the proper service.
They can't admit it to themselves because then they'd have to admit that they were lying or wrong this entire time.
Yeah, I mean,
he was one of the greatest players of all time. He's just not that anymore.
Look, he Ronaldo, even in the game against Uzbekistan, it was a lot of like right place, right time. Dude, England is never
England couldn't buy a goal.
This is incredible.
The only way England's going to get a goal is if they get boats and steal it. That's the only way.
What a ridiculous game. This is not this Cristiano Ronaldo is just not who he was, and we just need to kind of like move on. And Ben Fox had even suggested it as well. He doesn't expect him to score against Croatia. He also does not think he, does Roberto Martinez have the bravery to sub him if necessary?
No, he doesn't. And it's a real shame. And that's why, if you want to blame anybody, blame the coach for not saying, having the balls to say, hey, you're going to come off the bench in the 60th minute. And that would be a Ronaldo that would be rejuvenated if you did that.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, yeah, the performances have been not great. So I can't really make sense.
Of course, he scores a hat trick in this game.
I still think I think Croatia wins this game in penalties. I
Croatia, we told y'all.
Yeah.
We told y'all not to let him in, and you did. And this is what they're going to do.
Because, I mean, look at – I mean, you could – if you – I mean, I'm not saying Petr Musa is the same player as Cristiano Ronaldo, but as far as a striker, he's a better striker than Cristiano Ronaldo, right? I mean, he is
clicked that because he's right.
My man is FC Dallas legend, bro. And mm-hmm. and if Petr Musa has a decent game,
who's having a better World Cup right now? I mean, and you know what? Petr Musa is not blaming the midfield.
So, I think there's a fair amount of dynamism on this Croatian team. They have Luka Modric, and they do have their old guys.
They know
too,
how to play the dirty vets. Game, not dirty in the sense but of like cheating. They know how to play a muddy game.
A ton of experience, and I can see them giving Portugal a really, really hard time. And we're focusing on Cristiano Ronaldo because of all the narrative, and because he's playing 90 minutes every game, and he really just doesn't seem like it's working out.
Because he's dusty, but all you toxic dudes can't let him be dusty, bro. Yeah, I mean, but
in that group, Portugal, Colombia, I forgot the other two teams in the group, but it's like, who was expected to win that group?
Portugal.
It was Portugal.
People at Portugal is a contender to win the whole thing. They ain't looking like it. Let's go to the comments. Let's see what you guys are saying, because you guys are talking wild crazy in there. We need to see it.
Okay.
We need to show the world what y'all saying.
Okay, we got some tweets. Wake up. The USMNT plays World Cup soccer today. Go. We are locked in. We are ready.
I am excited for today's game.
Okay.
Also a little nervous. What else we got in the tweet land?
Get the F up, America. It's a USMNT World Cup knockout round match day. We are here, bro. Yeah, that's why we're in San Francisco,
dog. We don't
need
to wake up. We're drinking coffee.
Follow us on Instagram. Get with our stories, bro.
Yeah, man. We outside.
We are outside, bro. Okay, what do we got? Ben Falken.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's a verb. All
Let's
right?
go. I'm Ben Falken.
Let's go. Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yo, major money. Let's see if you put major money on DRC.
They are up 1-0, and England cannot get one in the back of the net.
They are trying, though.
It is nervy. Okay. Can't always go by touches. Look at Holland. Yes, you can't, but look at the results. Look at the runs that Erling Haaland makes versus Cristiano Ronaldo. He does not have the pace. He does not create the space. Nobody's afraid of Cristiano Ronaldo getting some long ball running in behind. That is not part of his game.
There's no defender that says, like, we need to keep a strong eye on Cristiano Ronaldo. He's right there.
He's right there. He's not there. And he's not moving. Okay. All right.
If DRC win, England has to start seasoning their food.
Hey, that's a good little side bet.
About this? The Museum of England has to give back all of their the stuff they robbed from Africa if DRC wins.
You're going to rob them of their wealth? how dare you? Okay.
We stole this fair and square. England.
No take backsies, all right?
If Matt Freese leaves, Matt we Freese... need that goalie. from NYCFC.
No, the goalie from Democratic.
Yeah, but if Matt Freese leaves it, New York City FC.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we being New York City FC, there you go. All right. I agree. Major money. On point.
All right, everybody.
You guys have been an absolute blast. Thank you for watching us and the first half.
Okay, no? final quick predictions for U.S. Against Bosnia-Herzegovina. I'm going to go with... 2-0. I don't think Bosnia's scoring this game.
Okay, I'm going to go with 3-1 U.S.
Okay.
An easy 3-1. I think Bosnia scores at the end.
All right. Exciting game. Just a reminder, we will be reacting to the game immediately after the final, or soon after the final whistle of U.S. Bosnia. So follow us and subscribe on YouTube if you have not.
The easiest way to do this, hit the bell. And you'll know right when we live.
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in, whether you're watching on YouTube, on Yahoo Sports Network, wherever. You might be watching on Twitter or TikTok, but we appreciate y'all. At Soccer Cool.
Maybe you're watching
everywhere.
On your smart refrigerator, bro.
Yeah, okay,
anything
bro.
Can happen.
Maybe you're watching in your car as you're driving.
Ooh,
please
don't do that.
You can listen, but
unless you don't have baby seats in the back, if you're driving a coupe, do whatever the hell you want, buddy.
Also, be on the lookout tomorrow. We have a great show. We have two guests. We have basically of Rock Nation, and one of them is Vinny Jr.'s agent.
Yeah, watch how hard I pushed for him to bring Vinny Jr. to Arsenal. It's going to be a fun one.
We're talking about these are the real influencers.
Yeah,
bro.
Dog. We out here making business moves. Thank you. You know what? You're welcome, Mikel Arteta. Thank you so much for hanging out. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give us a hype if you're on your phone. Give us a hype right now. We can absolutely use it. Cheers, you guys are the absolute best.
Peace, everybody.
Hey,
see you tomorrow.
Hey, I love you.
See you after the U.S. game. Peace.